Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Tonight we're going to look at the return of Christ, verses 8 to 12 we're going to cover. Last week, if you were here, you remember we looked at the first seven verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we studied a little bit about the rapture, and we hit on a little bit about the coming of the Antichrist. Well, tonight we're going to look through verses 8 to 12 and the return of Christ to this earth, and you know, when he returns at the end of the great tribulation period. And you know, we've been covering so much of this. Pretty soon here we're going to be out of all this prophecy, but it's just interesting. And my heart is that each one of you will know exactly how everything's going to happen, how the end times are going to unwrap and unfold, and so that you will be ready, and not only you, but also your family and your friends and your co-workers, those that might be at school with you. We looked last week at three areas that we specifically studied that characterized the Antichrist. First of all, Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2, we know that this man is going to come in on a platform of peace. Secondly, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 27, we studied this Wednesday, and I went really a lot more in depth last Sunday as we're going through the book of Daniel, on this man as he's coming on the scene. He's going to be looked at as a protector. And then thirdly, Daniel 9:27, we'll see that he'll actually be a peace breaker. He's going to come in like a man of peace, but he's going to end up breaking the peace. Well, this is where we pick up our text this evening, and I want to look at the fourth area, and that's he'll be the persecutor. We see in Revelation chapter 13, in verses 15 to 17, speaking of the Antichrist during the tribulation period, it says he was granted to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's actually going to happen during the tribulation period. And you know, people that end up in that time period, in order to go to heaven, they're going to have to receive Christ and they're going to have to refuse to take that mark. But when they refuse to take that mark, they're going to be beheaded. The scripture tells us they're going to have to die for Jesus. We know that at any time now, the third temple is about to be built. And as that temple is about to be built, we know that it's key for the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation, because he is going to cause what Jesus called and Daniel referred to as the abomination of desolation, what we just read, where he's going to have this image of the beast set up in the temple. And he's going to tell the world that they have to worship this beast. And we know it's going to take place right in the middle of the 7 years, right in 3.5 years into the tribulation, after the Antichrist comes on the scene and makes a covenant with the Jews. And we believe that that could be any time. We see things in the world that are happening even now. Daniel 9:27 says that it's in the middle of the week. So it's actually in the middle and begins the last half of that 7 year period. At that time, when the abomination of desolation takes over, when Satan begins to literally rule this world those last 3.5 years, it will actually usher in a period of intense persecution and tribulation. Man, it's going to be tough. You think it's tough now? It's going to be tough then. And you know, I believe God in his grace and mercy gave us these words in his Bible so that we don't have to be here in that time period. And the only way we're going to escape is by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, by giving our lives over to him. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Satan is going to pour out his full wrath against the people of Israel and the world. He's going to unleash all. I mean, it says in Revelation that the earth is going to open up and these demons are going to come on the earth and they're going to torment men. Can you imagine? Well, I can't even imagine what that would be like. As severe persecution comes on this world, Satan will control the world's economic system to where people will have to take the mark of the beast to be able to buy or sell. I mean, there's no way that you're going to be able to live unless you take this mark. It's going to be a time where it will cost you to trust in Christ and to live for Him. There will be believers who will refuse to bow down to this beast. And you know what? They're going to be slain. They're going to be killed. Can you imagine that? I mean, think of that. What if someone took a gun and went up and stuck it in your nostrils and said, hey, you know what? Denounce Jesus Christ or I'm blowing your brains out. What are you going to do? Think about it. Oh, it's easy to say, hey, man, you know, there's no way. I'll say Jesus is my Lord. I mean, we can say that now, and I hope that we would do that. But the reality is that when someone sticks that in your face and sticks them barrels right in your face, what are you going to do? It's incredible, man. I'm glad I'm not going to be here for that. I don't want to have to make that kind of decision. People are going to refuse to wear his mark. And because of that, they're not going to be able to get jobs. They're not going to be able to get Social Security or any kind of financial aid. They're not going to be able to get anything. They're not going to be able to make purchases at the local store. Many are going to be killed for Jesus Christ in that seven-year time period. How you know that, Rick? Well, Revelation 20, verse 4 says, and I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive the mark in their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Many are going to die, man. It's going to be an incredible time. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, you can read it, says that there are actually going to be 144,000 Jews that are going to be saved during this time period. 12,000 from each tribe of the 12 tribes, and they're going to carry the gospel to the whole world. They're going to do what the church is not going to do, because the church isn't going to be here. We're going to be gone before this happens. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, John described a great multitude of Gentiles who actually come out of the great tribulation as those who accepted Christ and were saved. So we see a huge number of people are going to get saved. When we disappear, they're going to realize, you mean that was true? You mean Jesus is real? He was coming for his church? You mean I could have given my life to him and went to heaven, and now I'm here for what I heard is 7 years of hell on this earth? Can you imagine being left behind? I can't even fathom the thought of it. And how terrible it's going to be to know that now that you are going to want to live, you're going to have to either take the mark or be killed. Take the mark and live for 3.5 years and then suffer in the lake of fire for eternity? Or be killed for Jesus Christ. Guys, it's incredible, man. I mean, we're coming to that time period even now as we speak. You see, even though the Holy Spirit won't be acting as a restraining power like we studied last week, right now the Holy Spirit is restraining Satan's full force of evil on this earth. Once the Holy Spirit is removed, not taken out of the way, but the restraining power removed, we're going to be gone, and all hell's going to break loose. You know, I was talking to one of my neighbors this morning, and I just went over. I seen him out there messing around, and I like going over and tweaking them about Jesus and stuff, you know, just getting them a little ticked at me and stuff. You know, well, they know I'm a pastor. They know I'm saved. And so I'm talking to him a little bit, and he goes, well, did you hear the news? And I go, what news? He goes, man, there's a couple guys that was walking up the street the other day, casing the street out, and one of them strong-armed me and robbed me. I go, no, I didn't hear. I go, man, I wish I was around. I could have told him about Jesus or something. You know, maybe I could have been telling him about Jesus and he would have blew me away and I'd be with Jesus, man. I wouldn't be putting up with all this stuff on this earth, you know, what I'm having to go through. And he just thought, man, you are a Jesus freak, huh? I go, yeah, man, you know, I love it. And, you know, he just, I asked him, I said, hey, do you think I can get one of those rings in my ears? He's got them about this big right now. You know, I've slowly through the months and years watched him, you know, get bigger and bigger. And it was really cool. The guy really, really respects me, man. And it's because not me. It's because of who I stand for, amen. It's Jesus. He knows I'm for reals. I mean, you know, I'm sincere. He knows that I care for him. And I've tried so many times to get him to come to church. One of these days he's going to come. Keep praying for your neighbors. Keep praying for those that, you know, keep shutting you off. They're listening. It's seeking in. The Holy Spirit's doing his work. We know during the tribulation that the Holy Spirit's still going to be doing his job. People are still going to get saved. The only difference is that restraining power that's restraining the evil is going to be lifted. That brings us to our next event, what I want to look at tonight, the return of Jesus Christ. This is his return to the earth in glory and in judgment when he's coming back to judge the nations. It's the event described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. We covered that a few weeks ago. And in Revelation 19, verse 11, you see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords there in Revelation 19 on the white horse coming back. It's describing his second coming, not the rapture of the church, but his second coming. It will occur at the end of the seven-year tribulation period when the mystery of iniquity, as it's called, which is actually Satan's program, his plan that he's going to do for 7 years, will have ended with the Battle of Armageddon. That's when we'll be coming back with Jesus. We'll have been with Jesus for 7 years, called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. The feast, we'll be up there feasting and eating and drinking and eating and drinking and drinking and eating and drinking and not gaining an ounce. I love it, man. I'm ready. You know, hey, Lord, pass another leg over here, man. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be with the Lord, partying. I mean, you think we've been to some parties on this earth? Can't drop a dime on what God's doing with us, man. I mean, we're going to be partying with the Lord. I love it. It's going to be a party. It's 7 years. You ever been to a seven-year party? You know, it's going to be radical. And, you know, I've said it before. The Lord's going to come out and say, hey, for all you do, this one's for you, man. I'm going to go, bring it on, Lord. You know, Satan won't be there to trip on us or, you know, to mess us up. It's just, guys, that's what our hope is, isn't it? We're dealing with drama. We're dealing with issues on this earth, family issues, you know, relatives, neighbors, you know, I mean, we got all kinds of junk going on, jobs, you know, I just got laid off or I got fired or whatever, and where am I going to, you know, get the money for this and that? I mean, we deal with that stuff because we're human. It's our human nature too. The day is coming, and this is our only encouragement and hope, when we will never deal with these things again. Oh, man, I'm ready. How many of you guys are ready? Whenever, Lord, you know, vamanos, you know, let's go. Let's get out of here. You know, I'm ready to go. Well, it could happen at any time. But tonight, you know, it's very important that we know the difference between the rapture of the church, which we believe to be the next major event on God's prophetic timetable that's going to happen. The rapture of the church, then this man's, which I believe is coming on the scene even as we speak. We see him in the newspapers and on the news. A man that's going to come on the scene, he's going to become dominant on the world scene, predominant, and he's going to be helping out with trying to bring peace amongst nations and you know, bring peace accords and things like that. He's the one that's going to sign a seven-year peace treaty with the Middle East and Europe. And you know what? That could happen at any time, man. And then at the seven-year tribulation, at the end, we come back with Jesus. And Jesus judges the nations. He don't even mess with them, man. He just wipes them out. Judges him, and then he burns up the earth. He renews it like it was in the days of Adam and Eve. Now, he doesn't destroy the earth. He's going to burn it up and renew it. And then we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years as kings and priests. The end of the 1,000 years, Satan's going to be let out of the bottomless pit. He's going to deceive the nations. Those that were born in the millennium, Because remember, there's people that are going to go in the millennium in their regular bodies that actually somehow, by the grace of God, made it through the tribulation period. They made it through. They all the judgments that were poured out on the earth, they made it through somehow. And they repopulated the earth during the 1,000 years. Well, they're going to have to make a decision to receive Christ or reject him. So Satan will be let out of that bottomless pit that he's been in for 1,000 years. And the Bible says there in Revelation, this is what blows me away. It says that the people that were coming, Jesus is reigning from Jerusalem in the millennium. People are coming to Jerusalem. It says like the sand that covers the seashore in multitude to fight against the Lord. I'm thinking, man, these guys got serious drugs, man. You know, in the millennium, something's happening here. You know, for them to, I mean, what do they think they're going to, here's God. Here's Jesus in his glorified body. Well, it says in Revelation, the Lord just wipes them out. He doesn't even mess with them. And you know what? We have the white throne judgment where everybody that's died since Adam and Eve without Christ is let out of the center of the earth. Those that died at sea, I mean, they're all going to be let out. And they're going to stand before God. And Revelation 21 says that the books are going to be open and the book of life is going to be open. And the people are going to be judged according to their works. And you know what? They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. And then we're going to go into the new heavens and the new worlds and the new Jerusalem and what God has for us. Oh, we're going to be blown away. Look how we can get so excited in things that we enjoy doing on this earth. Magnify that zillions and zillions and billions and trillions and zillions of time. That's what it's going to be like and even more. When we see what he's got prepared, I mean, we're going to blow our mind. We got to have a glorified body. We'd blow these little pea brains right out of our brains, man. If we saw what God has for us, it's going to be awesome. I'm ready. I'm ready for that. Anytime, I'm ready, man, for the Lord to come back. You see, here's the difference between the rapture and the second coming. The first event, the rapture, is going to happen secretly. The second event, at his second coming, every eye is going to see. You see, the first event, the rapture, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Jesus is coming when you're least going to expect him. That's why we're, the imminence of his return, we're to be looking for him 24/7, man. We're to be watching for him coming back. The second event, we know is public. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, Jesus is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Every eye is going to see us coming with Jesus. First of all, Jesus will bring the Antichrist into judgment. Notice what it says here in verses 8 and 9. It says, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God." I'm in the first Thessalonians. Let me pop over to a second. Man, Lord, help me with these two brain cells that are left. Okay, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2. "And then the lawless one will be revealed," speaking of the Antichrist, "whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy," notice, "with the brightness of his coming." It's at the end, the battle of Armageddon, when we come back at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus comes, that he's going to wipe him out. Look at verse 9. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all lying signs and lying wonders." Nobody on this earth will be able to overcome the Antichrist and his forces. And the main reason is because the Antichrist is going to be energized and empowered by Satan himself. Now, it's going to be wicked. It's going to be some sick time here on this earth, man. According to verse 9, Satan, notice, will be able, it will enable his false Messiah to perform all power, signs, and lying wonders. Does that ring a bell? Does that hit you guys in a certain way? Notice that he will imitate Christ. Jesus, I mean, isn't that what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Perform signs and miracles and wonders. Satan's a great imitator, man. He's going to perform the false resurrection when the Antichrist, in the middle of the tribulation, is shot and Satan falsely resurrects in him and rules the world for the last 3.5 years. Satan has always been an imitator. And you know what? The Bible says that his ministers are false ministers. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. I mean, you know, this guy ain't dumb. Satan's been around, guess what, longer than you or I. Longer than all of us put our ages together in this room. He's been around a long time, man. And you know what? Jesus said he's the father of all lies. If he can lie to you and he's the master of it, how much more is he going to deceive you if you don't know the word, man? It's incredible. They'll also preach a false gospel. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 1, verses 6 to 9. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which really is not another." You know, there's nothing new under the sun. All kinds of junk, you know, gets spread around. He says, "But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Paul lays it on the line. Listen to what he says. He says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you," he says, "let him be accursed." You know what that word accursed means? It means literally from the Greek translation to be damned to the lowest pit of hell in the center of the earth. Verse 9, he says, "As we have said again," there in Galatians 1, "so now I say again," notice he says it second time, "if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." This is serious stuff, man. He's talking about the unadulterated gospel. You know, that's why I love going verse by verse through the scriptures, because you get the whole counsel of God. I remember one Sunday evening in a leadership class at Calvary West Covina with Pastor Rawl. You know, Rawl, he asked the question, "Hey, how many of you have ever read through the Bible?" And man, I had just gotten saved and I was starting to read through it, and it had only been 3-4 months. And, you know, I couldn't raise my hand. And he says, "Let me tell you something. If you have never once read the Bible cover to cover systematically, not, you know, the holy flop, you know, and just wherever it is you start." He says, "If you've never read the full counsel of God cover to cover, you have no right to share the full counsel of God. And you can't share the full counsel of God." And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, that's what really empowered me to read the Bible through once a year, that I've committed to do. And I love it, man. I love studying the Word of God. I want to know God's Word. If somebody comes up and starts sharing something about Jesus with me, I sit there and I check them out. And I listen. And I let the Spirit bear witness with me if what they're saying is truth or not. But you won't know unless you read it, amen? You won't know unless you're taught. That's why you go to Bible study, to be taught God's word so you know. So you know that you know. I mean, this is bad. It's really bad. I shouldn't even share it. But I'm going to share it anyways because it's fun, man. I love it. I go into Starbucks. And many times you go in there, you'll see them sitting at the table. And sometimes you see them with their Bible and they're doing stuff with their Bible, you know. And I'll see them over there and I'll tell the guys or whoever's with me. I'll go, "Hey, watch this, man." I'll go up and I'll go, "Excuse me, is that the Bible?" And they'll go, "Yeah." And I go, "Man, do you really believe that junk? I mean, that men wrote that thing. You really believe that?" And I've had this one guy goes, "Well, you know, I don't really know if I believe it. You know, one of my friends turned me on to it. And I'm just kind of checking it out and stuff." And I go, "Okay, well, my name's Rick. I'm pastor at Calvary Chapel." I knew it. He goes, "I knew it." And he's banging on the table. And I'm thinking, this dude's going to hit me, man. Yeah.
He goes, I knew I should have made this stand. And I love it. It's bad, huh? Forgive me. Pray for me, guys. But you know, I mean, but that's it. Do we make the stand when we're under pressure like that? I thought this dude was going to come unglued, man. You know, I start stepping back, you know. It was just radical, but I'll guarantee you, he tells him he's a Christian now. He looks for me every time I come in now. You know, there are people during the tribulation period who actually will think that they're worshiping God. But in reality, they're going to be worshiping Satan himself. You see, they have a counterfeit righteousness that's not the saving righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a counterfeit. They have a false assurance of salvation that will actually mean nothing when they stand before the Lord in judgment at the white throne judgment. It's not going to mean anything to them. It's not going to mean anything to the Lord, rather. In fact, in the final judgment, there are actually going to be people, now listen to me on this, there are going to be people who performed miracles in the name of Jesus who will be rejected by the Lord because they were never saved. Where's that in Scripture, Rick? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, it's a walk. It's a walk. We have to live this thing. He says, many will say to me in that day, what day? The judgment day. They'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus said, and then I will declare to them soul-shattering words, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, or you who practice sin. Radical stuff, man. Guys, that's why we got to be above board as Christians. We got to be walking upright, man. There's no messing around here with God. Just having a knowledge of God and saying you're a Christian and trying to live for him, I mean, that's not going to cut it. You have to live for him. Remember what Jesus said? I mean, it blew me out when I first started reading through the Bible. When I got to the scripture, it said, Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I shut my Bible. I said, that's it. I'm done. There's not a chance, Lord. I can't read three verses without thinking something stupid, you know? And it's like, then as I grew in the Lord and I matured, I understood what he was saying. You see, he set that standard so high that we would never attain it on this earth. But our whole life, we would be striving to attain that standard. You see? It's a lifelong thing, man. We're going to blow. We're going to fall short. The key is to get up, wipe the dirt off, get back up, and repent and go forward. Go forward. Put it behind you. You can't go back and change nothing. Hello? Guys, why trip on it? Move forward, man. Clean it up and move forward. Enjoy life. You know, let's get back with it with the Lord. You know, we're all stupid at sometimes. Go forward with it. You see, the purpose of God's miracles were to lead people to the truth. But on the other hand, the purpose of Antichrist's miracles in the tribulation will actually be to lead people to believe his lies. Notice Paul called them what? Lying wonders. Not because the miracles aren't real, they are real, but because they cause people to believe Satan's lies. Is that when Christ returns, he will judge Antichrist by the Spirit, it says here, notice, of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. The words punished and everlasting destruction, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, notice, mean that Satan and his workers will be tormented in the lake of fire forever. Right on, man. Right on. They're going to be tormented forever. We know biblically, according to 1 Timothy 4, and you can read these, and 2 Timothy 3 for you that are taking notes, that as the coming of the Lord draws near for his church, biblically it says there that Satan is going to step up his evil plans in this world. You know what that tells me? It's going to get tough, guys. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get tougher. Be ready. Because Paul and Jesus and the prophets, the apostles, they warned us, they told us, you're going to go through serious stuff in your lives.
And the only way you're going to make it through is by having your eyes on the Lord. And for me, that's why I made the commitment years ago. I have to be in church, man. You know, it sounds bad, but it's like a drug addict. When you're a drug addict, you got to go get a fix. You can't make it through the day without doing 3-4 lines of coke. I mean, you need something. Well, you know what? I mean, I come to church on Wednesday nights and Sundays. I mean, before I was in the ministry and the pastorship, I mean, I came to church like in a sense, like a drug addict. God, I need a fix. I need to hear from you tonight, Lord. The enemy just beat me up. Look at all these fiery darts in my back, Lord. You know. You know, you're at work. You know, the guy's at work. You know, you're a Christian. Yeah, that's right. Want to say something about punk? You know, meet you outside. You know, it took me a while to get out of the biker thing and realize I'm a Christian now. I can't say that stuff to them. You know. I'd say stuff to them like, you better give your soul to God because guess what? You're mine. And they go, what? And I go, well, you know, that might be not all Christian, but you get the point, right, bro? You know, I mean, I really had to clean it up and say, Jesus, give me the right things to say. And it took time, and he has. And, you know, so it's worked out good. But what I love about it, the encouraging, exciting thing is that one day, Satan is going to completely overthrow, or Jesus, rather, completely overthrow Satan and his system. Once and for all, and guys, guess what? It will be done for eternity. Never again, man. Secondly, Christ's judgment will be on those who weren't saved. Look at verses 10 and 12, 10 to 12. And with unrighteous deception among those who perish, because, notice why they're perishing and dying and going to hell, because they did not receive the love of the truth. What love of the truth? What truth? That they might be saved. And for this reason, because they didn't want to believe it, they didn't want to live for it. Notice, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. It's radical. Verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but notice, rather they had pleasure in unrighteousness. I see that all the time, man. You know, and the biggest area I see it today is single. Single men, single women. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. You ever heard that song? And you know what? I see them walking away from the Lord for a relationship. I see them walking away from the Lord for a job. I see them walking away from the Lord for that home they've always wanted. For what? For what? How can you walk away from the Lord for something that is so temporary? But yeah, well, I love him. Come here, let me show you what life loves all about. You know, you feel like doing that. The guy's not saved. She's not saved. All things are real honky-dory now. Give it a couple months. You know, and it happens. It happens. And you know what, guys? We all, in one way or another, fall short in times like that. I mean, we all do. They're stupid little things. I mean, we look at Judas Iscariot and we think, how in the world can he give up the Lord for 30 pieces of silver? How could he do that? How many times do we give the Lord up? You know, when somebody asks us something and we go, well, no, uh-uh. No, well, no, I don't go to church that much. And we're here every time the doors are open, you know. I mean, just for a moment of something, we give up the Lord. And yet, we look at Judas and say, how could he do that, man? You know, many Jews and Gentiles are going to be saved during that 7-year tribulation. But you know, unfortunately, the sad part is the majority of the world will be lost. They'll end up in hell because they're going to believe the lie. God's going to cause them to believe it. You're going to say, well, Rick, how can God do that? Well, it's kind of like Pharaoh. When Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart and God knew in his providence, because God knows the future. He knew Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. So what did God do to bring about his plan to get his people out of Egypt? Because Pharaoh hardened his heart, God made his heart harder. That's what's going to happen here. Because they're going to believe the lie, God's going to send a strong delusion that they will believe that this guy's the Messiah. He's going to call fire down from heaven in the sight of men. And guess what? It's going to be on internet. It's going to be on national TV through satellite. Could have never happened until the days we're living in now. How could the whole world see that happen? Until we had satellite and internet. Since the 50s? I mean, it's radical. We're that generation. Everything points that we are that generation. Everything does. Daniel chapter 12. I mean, Daniel was told, you know, you're going to rest with your fathers, and in the latter days, knowledge will increase. Look, man, look how awesome Harleys have come since 1903. I mean, you know, I can understand that in my pea brain. I mean, that's just something I can understand. But you guys know what I'm talking about. Look what we have since the turn of the 19th century, the 1900s. Man, all kinds of stuff. We're living in the last day. Everything Scripture talks about points to this generation. We're living in that time period. That's what took place when the first destruction happened with the flood. Think about it. Only 8 people survived that flood and made it. Noah and his family. Out of the whole world, the rest of the world perished. Guys, I mean, Jesus said it's going to be as in those days. Doesn't that sharpen you to want to be on fire for the Lord? To want to know God's word? To make sure you're looking for his return? I want to be, if it's going to be that small of a number, I want to be one of those numbers. I don't want to be here. I don't want to lose out on eternity and end up in hell somehow. I don't want to do that. So, man, I examine my life momentarily, not hourly or daily, momentarily, to make sure my heart and my mind and my spirit is right with God, because I don't want to lose out on that. According to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, and you can read that, others will die in judgment when Christ returns and separates the saved from the lost, that are actually going to make it through, and he's going to judge them. These people, you have to understand, it's very important tonight, guys, to understand, these people had plenty of opportunities to get right with God. Whenever anybody dies, I can promise you, because it cost God so much, it cost him the death of his son. I can promise you, because God paid with the price of his son, he's going to exhaust every opportunity that your loved one's going to be saved, and your friends and neighbors and family. He'll exhaust every means before their life is taken. You see, God's not sitting on his throne, rubbing his hands together, thinking, oh man, I get to judge that one. I can't wait. You know, or they're throwing lightning bolts just getting ready to judge you. That's not God. God is a God of love. What brings his judgment, listen to me, is when we're disobedient to him. That's what brings his judgment on us. It's not him, it's us that bring that on. Ezekiel 33:11 says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. He says, turn from your evil ways and live. Well, it brings me to another point. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Why hasn't he come back yet? Well, I'm going to give you the scripture that will tell you. And it's 2 Peter 3:9. When anybody asks you, why hasn't Christ come back yet? I've been hearing for years he's coming. Here it is. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Notice, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he hasn't come back yet. If Jesus came back 20 years ago, how many of you here would be going to heaven? I would have, because I'd been Christian for 5 years, but you know what I'm saying. If he came back 10 years ago, if he came back a year ago, there might be some of you here that wouldn't have gone to heaven. You'd be in the tribulation period. He's long-suffering, man. He loves us. That's why he hasn't come. I want him to come, but at the same time, there's people that need to get saved, amen? I want my family members, I want my friends to go to heaven with me. I want to grab as many as I can. Man, I said, Lord, when the rapture happens, put me by 2 unbelievers and I'll grab them by the collar. And when we get halfway up to the clouds, I'll say, hey, you guys going to receive them now or aren't you? Last opportunity, right?
I love it.
These people will be judged, and they'll suffer forever because they would not receive and believe the truth. Those who love lies and make lies won't be allowed to go into the heavenly city. And we see here they'll be sent to the lake of fire. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15 says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city Jerusalem. But outside are dogs and sorcerers." Again, you guys know that word, sorcerers. From the Greek, it's pharmakia. That's where we get our word pharmacy, drugstore drugs. I mean, it's drug users. "Sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie will have no part in the kingdom of heaven." It's radical stuff, man. How many times have we told little lies? You know what I mean? Just to get someone off our back or whatever it might have been. And the Lord convicts you and says, "Man, you just stunk. You just stinking lied." It's like, "What do you mean, Lord? I didn't lie. I just told a half truth." "Well, okay, a half lie. You told a half lie. That's a lie." You know. Guys, we fall short all the time, man. We got this human nature. And I hate it. I hate it when I deny the Lord in one way or another. Because I don't want to. I want to live for him. Paul here is giving us an awesome truth. A person can actually resist the truth that he will finally come to the place where he has to believe the lie. You can only resist the truth so long, and then you'll believe the lie. Bottom line is that either we believe the truth or we believe the lie. To reject the truth means to receive the lie. Verse 11 literally reads that they should believe the lie. What's a lie? The lie is that Satan is a liar and he's deceived mankind. That's the lie, man. He has. Satan first spoke it to Eve in Genesis 3 and said, "You'll be like God. Go ahead, partake of that fruit. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be like God." The lie is the idea that man is his own God. And therefore, man can do whatever he pleases and better himself by his own human efforts. One of my biker buddies that was dying, he had brain cancer, man. And I went over to visit him. And, you know, we had gotten drunk together and drank in the bars and stuff. And I told him, I says, "You know what, Claire?" I says, "Man, I've told you about Jesus." They said, "You're not going to live, man." He was on his bed and he was laying there. And he was laying on the bed and he kept pulling the covers up over his legs and he kept pulling his legs up. And he says, "You know what, Rick?" He says, "I've pulled myself up by my own bootstraps before. I can do it. You know, I'll be able to take care of this." I go, but Claire, you got brain cancer, man. And they're saying that you're going to die, that this is it." And he kept pulling his legs up and he goes, man, my legs feel like they're starting to go on fire. And God gave me boldness. I said, "Claire, that is the fire of hell itself. You're leaving. You're leaving, and unless you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You're going to be burning forever in the fire." And he goes, "You know what, Rick, I appreciate all that, but I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks, but I'm good." I said, "All right, well, can I pray for you?" And he said, "Sure, go ahead." And in my prayer, I said, "Lord, just let Claire know all he has to do is cry out to you and say, 'God, forgive me.'" And he's saved. Just let him know that, Lord. And that's what I left. And I left the house. And I got a call a couple hours later, about an hour after I left, he died. And you know what? If Claire didn't get his life right with God, biblically, he is in hell right now. And he remembers everything in his life, and he's waiting for the white throne judgment to come out of that torment temporarily, to stand before God and to have the books open and be judged for everything he ever said or done, even in the secret, that he'll be judged for, and everybody will see it. And then from there he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Man, I don't want to see that. Guys, I love people. I don't want to see them go to hell. I don't care what they've done, where they've been. They're eternal souls. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And so that's my passion with being a pastor. I want to teach you the word so you don't have to go there.
I don't want to ever see one of you stand before that white throne and you look over and see me standing there and run up and grab me by the collar and say, you were my pastor and you never told me I could go to heaven. I'm going to say, Gabriel, roll him, man. And you're going to hear this. All you have to do is believe and turn your life over to him and you'll go to heaven. That simple. Nothing else. Can't work your way. If you want to guarantee that you're going to go, you can give me an extra $10. And no, I'm just kidding. Salvation's free. I stand before the Lord. Lord, I'm just kidding, man. You know, I'm waking up some of these folks. But, you know, I mean, it's free. And you can go. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, notice, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. The literal translation of Romans 1:25 is, who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship, listen to me, and serve the creature rather than the creator. That's radical, man. You see, Satan fell because of pride. Read Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 19, and you'll see that he fell because of pride. He said he would be like God, man. God says, no way. I'm casting you out. It's pride that brings men into doing Satan's will in this world. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26 says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We're to share with them, man. We're to reach out to them so that even though they may be backslidden, they'll come to their senses and say, man, you know what, man? I'm burning this, man. I'm blowing it. I need to get right with God. And you know what? They'll come back and they'll do God's will again. Today, man is making God in his own image. And the thing that grips my heart is Romans 1:32. You know, as a matter of fact, when you get a chance, read Romans chapter 1. That's the time we're living in right now. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they're people that know that they're going to stand before God one day if they sin, if they continue in sin. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. That's radical, man. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 3, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, folks, that's now, this generation is the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Notice what they'll do. They'll give heed to deceiving spirits, to doctrines of demons. They'll speak lies and hypocrisy. Their conscience will be seared with a hot iron. They'll forbid to marry. Hey, just go live with the guy, man. Go live with the girl. You don't have to get married. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. What happens is that the heart becomes harder and harder each time a person rejects God's truth. And this makes it easier to believe Satan's lies. That's what he's saying here. This is why it's so important to continually be in the Word of God and in Bible study. I want to finish with what Paul wrote to the believers in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He said, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also is effectively working in you who believe. You're taking this, you're hearing it, and you're applying it to your life. Paul says, man, we rejoice without ceasing. We thank God continually for that because you've received the truth and you're saved. Man, you know what? It's that easy, guys. I'm ready. Are you ready? Let's pray.